You'll turn into your Bibles to Genesis chapter 24. We will continue our reading. Genesis chapter 24. Now Abraham was old, advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. And Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he owned, "Please place your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live, but you shall go to my country and to my relatives and take a wife for my son Isaac." And the servant said to him, "Suppose the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Should I take your son back to the land from where you came?" And Abraham said to him, "Beware lest you take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, and who spoke to me, and who swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this my oath. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant placed his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 camels from the camels of his master, and set out with a variety of good things of his master's in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, "O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today, and show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now may it be that the girl to whom I say, 'Please let down your jar so that I may drink,' and who answers, 'Drink, and I will water your camels also,' may she be the one whom thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And by this I shall know that thou hast shown loving kindness to my master." And it came about, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor, came out with her jar on her shoulder. And the girl was very beautiful, a virgin, and no man had had relations with her. And she went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please let me drink a little water from your jar." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she quickly lowered her jar to her hand and gave him a drink. Now when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw also for your camels until they have finished drinking." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran back to the well to draw, and she drew for all his camels. Meanwhile, the man was gazing at her in silence to know whether the Lord had made his journey successful or not. Then it came about, when the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a gold ring weighing half a shekel and 2 bracelets for her wrist weighing 10 shekels in gold and said, "Whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room for us to lodge in your father's house?" And she said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor." And again she said to him, "We have plenty of both straw and feed and room to lodge in." Then the man bowed low and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth toward my master. As for me, the Lord has guided me in the way to the house of my master's brothers." Then the girl ran and told her mother's household about these things. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran outside to the man at the spring. And it came about that when he saw the ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrists, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, "This is what the man said to me," He went to the man, and behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring. And he said, Come in, blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside, since I have prepared the house and a place for the camels? So the man entered the house. Then Laban unloaded the camels, and he gave straw and feed to the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the feet of the men who were with him. But when food was set before him to eat, he said, I will not eat until I have told my business. And he said, Speak on. So he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord has greatly blessed my master, so that he has become rich, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and servants and maids and camels and donkeys. Now Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master in her old age, and he has given him all that he has. And my master made me swear, saying, You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live, but you shall go to my father's house and to my relatives and take a wife for my son. And I said to my master, Suppose the woman does not follow me. And he said to me, The Lord before whom I have walked will send his angel with you to make your journey successful. And you will take a wife for my son from my relatives and from my father's house. Then you will be free from my oath when you come to my relatives. And if they do not give her to you, you will be free from my oath. So I came today to the spring and said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if thou wilt make my journey on which I go successful, behold, I am standing by the spring. And may it be that the maiden who comes out to draw, and to whom I say, Please let me drink a little water from your jar, and she will say to me, You drink, and I will draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Before I had finished speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder and went down to the spring and drew, and I said to her, Please let me drink. And she quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, Drink, and I will water your camels also. So I drank, and she watered the camels also. Then I asked her and said, Whose daughter are you? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. And I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrists. And I bowed low and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had guided me in the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. So now, if you are going to deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, let me know that I may turn to the right hand or the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The matter comes from the Lord, so we cannot speak to you bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken. And it came about, when Abraham's servant heard their words, that he bowed himself to the ground before the Lord. And the servant brought out articles of silver and articles of gold and garments and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night. When they arose in the morning, he said, Send me away to my master. But her brother and her mother said, Let the girl stay with us a few days, say 10. Afterward she may go. And he said to them, Do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, We will call the girl and consult her wishes. Then they called Rebekah and said to her, Will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. Thus they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse with Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, May you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them. Then Rebekah arose with her maids, and they mounted the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac had come from going to Beer Lahairoi, for he was living in the Negev. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel. And she said to the servant, Who is that man walking in the field to meet us? And the servant said, He is my master. Then she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Thus Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Thus reads the word of God. Genesis 24:27. And he said, Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth toward my master. As for me, the Lord has guided me in the way to the house of my master's brothers. In this passage, we have Abraham's servant making a general statement as to his appreciation that the Lord had led him to the family of his master Abraham. He was searching for a wife for Isaac, and the Lord answered his petition for guidance to the chosen one. Although this was a general statement made in thanksgiving, there is something very important that we need to take to heart. The very basis of this utterance is something that should have a tremendous effect on our everyday consideration of God and the life that He has given us in His Son, Jesus Christ. We are called to bless the Lord, and we are to be desirous for all of creation to so honor and to bless Him. Obviously, we're not able to make anyone else respond with this passion for His blessing. However, in our hearts, it should still be our earnest desire and our every waking mission in life to bring such a blessing to God. Let us therefore spend some time with regard to what is involved in so living lives that will proclaim in word, in thought, in deed, and in fullness, Blessed be the Lord. We first considered the blessing of God when we spent those few weeks looking at Genesis 14:18-20 with respect to Abram, Melchizedek, and tithe. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tenth of all. The main point that we tried to establish is that God is blessed when we acknowledge that everything that we receive on this earth comes from His hand. Tithe is merely a token expression of the thankfulness of our hearts that since God has so blessed us with our every provision, we seek to bless Him with our return unto Him. This is in recognition of His providential hand upon us. All that we have is His, and we acknowledge that truth by giving back to Him directly from all that we have received. We do so in order to bless Him and to honor Him, and to express our complete reliance upon Him with the every practical aspect of our abilities. In so doing, we join our heart with that prayer of Melchizedek, and blessed be God Most High. The next passage that we will reflect on in this regard is Exodus 18, 9 and 10. And Jethro rejoiced over all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel in delivering them from the hand of the Egyptians. So Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord, who delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of Pharaoh, and who delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians." Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, found utter rejoicing in the reality that God had proven himself mighty over the most powerful ruler of that day. The people of God had been slaves and had been treated extremely harshly by the Pharaoh. They were in a hopeless situation without any power or possible recourse for deliverance. Theirs was a miserable existence, daily slaving away at the whim and fancy of those rulers who considered them to be merely beasts of burden. In this utterly hopeless situation, God brought forth His omnipotence and His mercy and His grace in delivering them from the anguish of that awful earthly plight. In the throes of this rejoicing over God's deliverance, Jethro offers before the people the truth that God is to be blessed. Blessed be the Lord, who delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of Pharaoh. He encouraged all to honor God in the fact that they were delivered by God's hand alone. No one else was to receive the credit or the praise for such a miracle of liberation and release. This is something that we may often take for granted and may be lacking in our daily consideration of the fact that we are now likewise released from the power of sin and death by the blood of Jesus Christ. We should be actively thanking the Lord for His gracious deliverance in our personal times and in our corporate times with Him. So often, in the details of daily living, we are prone to forget that He has brought us from death into life, from slavery and bondage of sin into the freedom and deliverance from all unrighteousness. We can become ungrateful in our apathy and our nonchalance as to who God is and exactly what He has done to deliver us. This must be a major concern of every true Christian. As His people, we are to bless Him with our thanksgiving and with our wonder and with our amazement at the work of His mighty hand in our lives. We are to be in utmost daily awe that He would so choose to freely and fully love us unto Himself by the death and resurrection of His only begotten Son. For that, He is to be blessed, heartily and loudly and profoundly blessed by His redeemed people. Why is it that we do not give such expressions and testimonies in the presence of others? Why is there so little inclination to bless the Lord together as His redeemed. He proves Himself every day in so many ways in each one of our lives. Yet it seems that we are so often impervious to the magnificence of His saving hand. We can be so callous to the monumentous magnitude of His operating grace, or so laissez-faire to the depth of His love enveloping us each day. We just seemingly take Him for granted. We should be rejoicing with all abandon in the majesty and the omnipotence and the omniscience and the omnipresence of God so freely manifested in Jesus Christ. It should be that each day is filled with the endless and earnest search for the sufficient words, the resplendent means, the ample time, or the abounding energy to give a continual expression of praise unto His blessing and His honor and His glory. Our entire being and our corporate expression should be overwhelmed and seeking to bring some measure of praise in order to bless Him. Not just that, but we should be an encouragement to others to bless our God. Please forgive me at this point if I step on some toes. And I freely admit that this is going to get very personal, because it is time for every one of us to examine our motivations and our actions and our hearts before God. If blessing God is the utmost desire of our hearts in recognition for what He has done for us in Jesus Christ, we would never permit ourselves to be late to worship. We would never permit ourselves to gather in His name in an unprepared manner. There would be no expression of personal likes or dislikes or behaviors that were unbecoming to the redeemed of the Lord. We would never permit ourselves to just sit in the assembly of God's people thinking of anything else but blessing Him. There would be no judgment, unforgiveness, malice, or disdain of others in our hearts. All that would distract from our gathering together would be truly dealt with in the love of God before we entered into the assembly of believers. If we are the redeemed of the Lord, then let our actions and our mouths and our thoughts and our desires join together and say so. Psalms 107, 1 and 2. O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. We are to manifest the glory of God unto His blessing as described in the following quote from the Biblical Illustrator. Blessed be God. Praise rises even from lifeless objects as they display the power and wisdom of their Creator. But intelligence, will, and intent are needful for blessing God. Praise is the manifestation of our inward reverence and esteem. It adores and magnifies. But in blessing God, we think well of Him and wish well to Him and desire that others may do the same. In blessing God, there is the desire to do good to God even as He doth to us, if it were possible for us to do so. We fail in the power wherewith to accomplish such a desire, but it is well that it is in our hearts. When we wish other men to love and serve the Lord and do Him homage, we are blessing Him. When we desire to love Him more ourselves and feel our hearts burn with aspirations after fellowship with Him, we are blessing Him. When we are zealous to make known the truth of the gospel, which glorifies God, and to make known His Son, in whom especially He is revealed, we are blessing God. End quote. Our lives are to be the living witness of the grace of God to His blessing. When we are asked as to the manner in which we are enabled to go on loving and worshiping God despite all the earthly trouble in our lives, we should be willing and able to proclaim that it is all by the loving and sovereign hand of God in whom we find our strength and our deliverance and our redemption. Think of all that Ruth had to endure along with her mother-in-law, Naomi. Theirs was a most difficult and strenuous life spent gleaning in the fields in order to have any sustenance. They had suffered the loss of all their male folk. They were two widows in a land that did not give value to women as much more than possessions. They were living from moment to moment without any visible future, and yet God blessed them and delivered them. Everyone who knew them freely honored and blessed God when Ruth bore Obed. Ruth 4:13 and 14. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her. And the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may His name become famous in Israel." The credit for it all was publicly given to God, as it should be in our hearts. Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a Redeemer today. Our Redeemer is Jesus Christ. His is the name above all names. Our reading from Scriptures, our songs of worship, our prayers of thanksgiving, our rejoicing in His great love, should all be focused and intended to bring God every blessing and honor and satisfaction as we recount His gloriousness in our hearts in the midst of His congregation. To bless Him is to honor Him. To honor Him is to count Him as the most important reality of our lives on this earth. All that we are and have and hope for and believe in is to be absolutely centered in Him. In this manner, we will be urgently seeking to please Him constantly with the life that we live on this earth. This truly means that we no longer become the focal point of our manner of living, our day-to-day walk on this earth. We will no longer look at things with regard to how it affects us, but with respect to how it affects His testimony and His witness in the eyes of others. This is a very humbling and contrite manner of facing our everyday experiences. As we look for God's witness to be the sole reason for our dealings with others, many of those things that were of such importance and such crucial determination for our behavior will be set aside. We will respond to all the stimuli of every agitation and disappointment and frustration from the vantage point of how God will use it to bring forth more of His blessing from our hearts. We will no longer put up our defenses and our walls of protection, but simply seek God to be glorified, even if that requires our physical release from the bonds of this age. The people of God are called to rejoice in His fullness, and in His mercy, and in His abiding presence, and in His keeping power throughout all the turmoil and struggles. We should be declaring His goodness, no matter what the state of our situation. God is to be blessed beyond all measure and glorified with every breath of our lungs, and with every conscious thought of our minds. We should be enthralled that He has so loved us and brought us into this life that we live before man and before Him. As His church, we should gather together as did the people of Israel, recorded in 1 Chronicles 29, 9 through 14. They brought forth the abundance of their heart for the sake of the building of the temple of God. They did not withhold from God of the wealth that He had given them, and they were fully engaged in what would bring Him honor and blessing. Let us read this passage together. 1 Chronicles 29, 9 through 14. First Chronicles 29, verse 9. Then the people rejoiced because they had offered so willingly, for they made their offering to the Lord with a whole heart. And King David also greatly rejoiced. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed art Thou, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, thine is the dominion, O Lord, and thou dost exalt thyself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou dost rule over all, and in thy hand is power and might. And it lies in thy hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from thee, and from thy hand we have given thee. Amen. This is the one heart with which all his people should gather together in order to bless God. God is to be blessed in absolute fullness and in endless thanksgiving and in utmost honor and in glory and in praise and in complete and unending worship. So be it. And he said, Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth. Amen.